The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And the 0-1 and a breaking ball lined into left field, a base hit. Taylor's in to score. Turner's on his way home as the ball is bobbled by Gonzalez. And Forsyth has done it again, a two-run single. Throw to first, they got the runner picked off, and now a bad throw will allow the runner from third to come home. And the Dodgers steal a run to make it 3-0. Here's the 0-1, fastball into left field, that's a base hit. Springer will round third and come in to score. And the first pitch, a swing, and a high fly ball, deep left field, it's a tie game. And a 2-2, and there's a curveball hit to right field. Reddick's going to watch it, and it's going to go. Cody Bellinger with a three-run homer. A look back by Maeda. There they go, 3-2, and a swing and a high fly ball. Deep left center field. Taylor's back. Gone! Jose Altuve hits one into the balcony in deep left center, and the Astros have tied it again. Here's the 0-2, and it is a high fastball lined into center field. Diving attempt by Springer, and it's by him. It's going to go all the way to the fence in straightaway center. Hernandez will come in to score. Bellinger will stop at third, and the Dodgers have the lead again. It is 8-7.
The first pitch to the bottom of the seventh is a fastball swung on and hit a ton. Way back and gone. Up onto the train tracks.
Here's the 0-1, and Altuve lines the ball to left center, and it's over the head of Peterson, and all the way to the fence. Bregman around third, getting the wave home. Relay to the plate, not in time. Astros have the lead.
The 1-0, and a high fastball hit high in the air to left field and fairly deep. Peterson back at the wall. She's gone!
Another home run.
As the 1-0 is a swing and a high fly ball, McCann has given it a ride, and it is gone.
The fifth home run of the night for the Astros, and it is 12-9.
And the 1-2, a changeup, and he hooks it to left field, hits it pretty well, and he hits it out.
Puig, and it's a one-run game at 12-11.
Devinsky sets, and the 2-2, and a changeup swung on and grounded into center field for a base hit. Can you believe it?
And the Dodgers have tied it at 12.
And the pitch. And a swing and a base hit into left field. Fisher around third. Ethier's throw to the plate. Not in time.
Bregman drives in the winning run in the bottom of the 10th inning. And the Astros win it 13-12 to take a 3-2 lead in the World Series.
I mean, I was just thinking there's no way he throws me a slider because I saw one last night and got one. So I was looking for the cutter the whole way, and I was trying to get it down so I could stay on top of it. And we're up 3-2. We're going to L.A., baby.
Wow, that was long even just doing the highlights. What a weekend it was, and so much more to come. Let's do this. It's a Monday. On the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master, if you want to get in today, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday, and I have to say, almost everybody around here is walking around like zombies today.
I don't know about you. Listen, I don't want to complain because we do a fun job most days. I am so sports out. I don't need sports for a while. I need this World Series to be over, and I need a sports break.
I'm kind of with you.
Well, I mean,
and really, this whole weekend I was working on the website the entire time, and it's kind of like, this is so much fun to see. I wish I could enjoy it. I'm not really able to enjoy it.
In my head, I've been saying, oh, once baseball's over, there'll just be football, and I'll watch the NBA when I feel like it. And then I was like, oh, it's like 12 days till college hoops kicks off. And
that's your moneymaker.
Yeah. And even though, like, it's weird because it's college football, I've told you this before, or college basketball, it's not my favorite sport. It's not my favorite sport to watch. I watch probably more of it than damn near I can imagine anyone wanting to. It's not my favorite thing to watch. It's getting to be work, Fred. I don't like sports as much as I used to, but I will say this. I enjoyed baseball this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I probably enjoy baseball in general less than I did before I got into sports radio. Not the case this weekend. That was a fun weekend.
No, that was incredible. And I tweeted this out. I can't imagine how loud it was in that building because I could hear the cheers from my balcony about a half mile away. And that was with the roof closed.
Yeah.
And I was just going, wow, it's got to be nuts in there. But what a game last night. It was exhausting in so many ways. And, you know, the Astros just kept coming back. And then the Dodgers come back. It was just one moment after another. And I was saying game two is one of the best games I've ever seen. And then they beat it. It just been an amazing series. And I hope they can close it out in game six. Mainly because I could really use a break, but I'm hoping they close it out in Game Six.
It'd be nice. I said last night in the middle of the, I think it was like the eighth inning or seventh inning. I said whoever wins this game is winning the series.
Well, that's how I felt going into the weekend.
Yeah, I've said all along, and the games went kind of opposite the way I thought they would. I thought that Kershaw would win his start, and then. I thought they would lose. I mean, I picked every game this weekend wrong. I said it would go Dodgers, Astros, Dodgers. It went Astros, Dodgers, Astros. But I said Astros will win game six. So hopefully I'm not like the super jinx. But I think that they've got – I mean, they've just got the best guy going. And so often in the playoffs, that is the case. In this series, it hasn't really mattered who you've started.
Yeah,
it's come down to bullpen, and not just whose bullpen pitches better, but who manages their bullpen better. And AJ Hinch is winning that battle.
Yeah,
and I think obviously Jansen going deep, and Jansen didn't have his best stuff last night.
And that second inning again.
I thought it was funny that there were people on Twitter acting like Kenley Jansen would hit Brian McCann on purpose because he threw one up and in already.
Yeah.
That's what every pitcher wants to do in a tie game in the World Series when they've got two strikes on a guy. They're like, you know what I'll do? I'll hit him and then get to the top of the order, turn the lineup over. And then I'm going to let him score the winning run. But even more so, I thought the bigger mistake was bringing in Brandon Morrow, who hasn't pitched three games in a row in his entire career. And you're pitching him 3 days in a row in the World Series, you've got other guys, you know. And I understand everybody wants to go with the guys who got him there.
Yeah.
But when you play this, you know, you wouldn't use him three games in a row in the regular season, so he didn't get you there by pitching three games in a row. And I just feel like Dave Roberts has made some mistakes when it comes to that.
I think he's managed with a lot of confidence in those guys, and in doing so, I think he's put him in some situations that haven't necessarily been the best for him. And now you don't have that dominant bullpen. You've got a bunch of guys who are gassed, I don't know what they do if Rich Hill can't get out of the second or third inning.
It's Brandon McCarthy.
And
the one appearance he's had in the World Series wasn't good.
Yeah. So I really feel like the Astros will win it tomorrow night. And then if it goes seven, I like the Dodgers. But I think they're going to get it done tomorrow. I feel pretty good about it.
I hope you're right, man. I'm ready for baseball season to be over.
Yeah, I think Verlander's going to go out there and have a big game. And offensively, I think they'll get to Rich Hill, and we'll see.
I think it's funny because, you know, Verlander's the one who talks about every postseason inning is like two regular season innings. it kind of feels the same for me watching. Like it's just a it's a drain emotionally, mentally. It's tough.
When I came in for the media, I came in and did a couple spots with Nate Griffin on Fox 26 this morning, and then we had our meetings. And like everybody in there was just zombified.
Oh,
it was
man,
up all night.
I actually missed the first handful of innings of the game. My kid pitched last night, and so I went to his game, and I promised my wife that I wouldn't be on my phone while he was pitching. And so I missed the first handful of innings of that game. When I got home, it was 4-0. And then that's when, I mean, I guess that's when the game started.
Yeah, and at that point, though, you felt like down
4-0. I felt like it was over.
4-0 to Kershaw. Yeah, I thought the same thing. And then when they get it back and tie it, you're like, wow, okay. And then next thing you know, it's 7-4. And you're like, maybe not.
Yeah.
But they just kept coming back. And I think my favorite moment was after Springer went for that play and didn't get it, and they go down 8-7, when he comes up the next inning, just mashing that ball.
Well,
that
I'm glad he did too, because I was like, you are such a bonehead for doing that. When there's no runners in scoring position, you just let that ball bounce, and you've got runners on first and second, and it's no harm, no foul.
Yeah. But you know what? He's made so many great plays all year trying to do stuff like that. But in that situation,
You play it safe.
Yeah.
But he did get it back, and there were so many times that it was like, oh, that guy could have. I mean, Dallas Keuchel could have cost him the game.
Yeah.
You know, George Springer could have cost him the game right there, and they all picked each other up. It was really cool to watch. I wasn't particularly in love with the way the Astros handled their bullpen either. To be honest, I kept saying last night and. Joe Musgrove, bless his heart, he didn't blow it. But I said, why don't you have McCullers out there right now? And if you get to a game 7, you can either pitch Charlie Morton on short rest. You could figure something out.
I think you could probably bring Keuchel back for a few innings.
Maybe. He pitched like 86, 90 pitches in 3 innings. But either way, you worry about game 7 when that time comes. Like the only guy available remotely that I would trust was McCullers. I said, well, why aren't they using him? And, of course, Astros Twitter, who hates me right now already, was already saying, oh, who would pitch game 7? Like, you can't worry about that. You can't.
Well, it's like if you get tomorrow and you've got a lead in the late innings, I'd throw McCullers. That's the one guy I trust.
Yeah.
And try to win it right then and there. But
and let Charlie Morton know in advance, hey, man, you might be pitching game 7, just so you know. Which, by the way, I wouldn't have a problem with because he's been so phenomenal. That guy's been so money. I couldn't fault them for doing that. But just a really fun game. And really, it was a weekend full of fun games.
Yeah.
And granted, the result on Saturday night wasn't exactly fun. It was still it was a close game. You know, it was a competitive game. And that's one thing, this entire series, that's what we've gotten, is these two teams they're really close.
Yeah. Like, said that all along.
Yeah. Whoever wins, they ain't a whole lot better than the team that lost. I can tell you that.
No, and they will have beaten a damn good team.
Yep.
All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman from the Blitz. BetDSI is one of the internet's top sports books. Don't ask me, just check out the sportsbook review sites. They are rated A+. They've got an impeccable reputation, fantastic features, easy deposits, and speedy withdrawals with pretty much every bet type imaginable. Go to betdsi.com right now. Use my promo code BLITZ25. To get a $25 free wager just for registering. You can bet parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. Nothing makes watching football games better than wagering while the action is live. BetDSI offers live betting and prop bets while games are in progress. But they aren't just a world-class sportsbook. BetDSI has a fantastic online casino and racebook. You can bring Vegas right to your living room or take it on the go with your mobile device. If you ever get bored of betting on ball games, there are plenty of other ways to get some action at BetDSI. You can find odds on politics, reality TV, and pretty much everything else. If you're looking for a different online sportsbook, you've come to the right place. Over 20 years paying winners. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. If you decide to deposit, you'll get a 200% bonus match on your money right now. Play on the go with their easy-to-use mobile interface. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's BLITZ25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
All right, guys, going to tell you about Window World of Houston. When it comes to energy-efficient windows for your home in the Houston area, the people have spoken. They're choosing Window World. Window World offers a premium quality double pane, double hung window for only $189. That's $189 for any size installed with a lifetime warranty that's transferable if you ever sell your house. So that ups the value of your house right there. The warranty includes glass breakage. So if you ever get a rock shot through your window by a lawnmower, they'll come out and they'll fix it for free. Choose from a huge selection of styles and options. The average home takes only one day for installation. Guys, Window World is ready to give you a free estimate in your home with no pressure and no gimmicks. Give them a call, 713-439-1172, or go online at windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. It's Window World, simply the best for less.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So what'd you do to piss off Astros Twitter?
The whole Bregman thing.
Again?
It's because he's playing well now. They're not letting that go.
Oh.
Nobody said anything when he was hitting like 190 in the series halfway through game five. But
shouldn't they thank you, though?
I don't care. Listen, Alex Bregman, I'm man enough to say this. Alex Bregman is doing exactly what I said he should do, like not worry about what people think and just go out there and prove people wrong. However good Alex Bregman is at baseball doesn't change the fact that he's a complete tool. I mean, that's what I said all along, and I stand by that. Anybody who DMs fans and calls them a tick on his nutsack and tweets back at radio guys about what the local sports media thinks about him, that guy's a douchebag. So I'm glad that he's hitting though. And he had the walk off single last night. I mean, I'm happy for that. Like I said, for me it was I don't know if I said this on the air, but I said for me it's a no lose situation. Either he plays really well and the Astros win the World Series, or he goes and plays like a bum, and he looks like even more of a jackass than he already is. So I'm happy for him. If it takes Alex Bregman actually getting some hits for the Astros to win the World Series, doesn't bother me one bit. I would still trade him for Chris Sale.
Well,
the tweets coming in 3.
That's
two,
they've already been coming. You're late. Lamont says, not sure about you guys, but this Dodger team would have ran through the Yankees. Yankees don't have enough horses. I agree completely. I think what we've started to see is the postseason shook down. These two teams are great. The only other two teams that were World Series contenders were the Indians and the Nationals, and they got knocked out early. But the Yankees, the Cubs, whichever one of those teams had, if one of those teams had slid in, the other team would have decimated them, I think. I just think that...
Yeah, this series would be over by now.
Yeah, these are two of the really good teams got knocked out in the first round, and the other two really good teams made it to the end. Thank God. Because that's the worst, is if, you know, there's only one really great team at the end. I don't want that. This is, I mean, I don't know about you, but even, like, obviously, I'd like the Astros to win, but I would rather have a series like this than a 4-0 sweep. I mean, with some drama, like this is what baseball, what the World Series is supposed to be like, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and yeah. And if the Astros do win this, it's going to be way more memorable.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think if they had won it 4 straight, you'd still be.
Maybe.
I think people would still be excited. But this kind of stuff, It's just amazing. I mean, it's so much fun to watch. And, you know, it is. I can't imagine what it's like for the players in that. It's just as exhausting as it is to watch as somebody who's doing what we do, and how exhausting it is for the fans. I bet the players, man. They seem to be having fun.
Anthony says, speaking to the guys that get you there, would you sit Reddick for either Fisher or Maben? I don't hate the idea of it. Here's my biggest issue with Josh Reddick right now. Obviously Josh Reddick is playing like trash.
Right.
He's not hitting. But Josh Reddick has the worst body language. And when you, like, the last thing you want to see if you're the next guy up is a guy throwing his bat and throwing his helmet every time he makes an out. It's gotten old. Like, I'm sick and tired of seeing that. So, like, how about just, you know, not act like it's all about you. Pick up your teammate and let's keep it rolling. But, you know, Reddick is solid defensively. And, you know, in fact, when they made the switches last night, when they moved Marwin to first and they moved Cameron Maben to center, they moved Reddick to left and Springer to right. The first ball that gets hit it's a hard shot out to left field, and Reddick had to get on his horse to get there and make that play. And I don't know if they would have had Marwin playing in the same spot they had Reddick playing, but if he was standing where Reddick was when that ball was hit, Marwin wouldn't get to that ball.
No.
So Reddick does provide you some value defensively.
I think Maben does too, though.
Yeah, he does. I mean, is Maben some kind of great bat that you want in there? I don't know.
No.
I wouldn't think so.
I'd probably stick it out with him.
I think so too. Or you play, and this is where it kind of sucks that like it'd be nice if Yuli was playing third base right now, and you could play Gattis at first.
Yeah,
and have Marwin in left. I mean, that would be ideal. I don't think they're going to make a change that massive at this point, though.
No. 713-780-ESPN. Thoughts on everyone bitching about juice balls?
Oh, who's bitching? I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, it's fine with me. Those balls are getting out of there, and I know pitchers are complaining about they can't spin it the way they want to. So, I mean, it's everybody's using the same ones. If Keuchel can't spin it, Kershaw can't spin it. And if one of them can, then kudos to that guy. You know what I mean? I don't have a problem with it. That's what's making for great games. And luckily, like I said, pretty much every game where the Astros have struggled to score runs, where it's been a pitching game, the Dodgers have too. It's been a close pitching game. The hitting games have been, you know, big numbers on both sides. I like that.
Yeah, and let's not forget that in game four, that was a well-pitched game right up until the end. That game was close, low scoring.
Yeah.
And then Ken Giles happened. Trevor says, seems like MLB is a real winner here. Casual baseball fans staying up until 1 a.m. to watch games outside of their teams.
Casual baseball fans.
I don't know if there's... Although, did you see the ratings?
Ratings were good.
Beat Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. Didn't beat the Cowboys game, though.
Yeah.
I think that there are some casual fans watching. I think it also helped that, you know, the Lions were playing Sunday Night Football and they kicked 5 field goals. I mean, no one's looking to watch a game like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that how many casual people around the country are watching, but I don't care because here in the city where it's happening, it's been fun.
And he said, you think these great games have increased Astros fans across the nation? With everything that happened with the storm, I think the fact that they beat the Yankees, I think the fact they're playing the Dodgers, I think more people are paying attention to them. I don't know if it creates more fans.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a lot of people rooting for the Astros in this series particularly. I don't think like people are going to be long-term Astro fans because of this, but I do think that most non-LA or Houston fans are rooting for the Astros.
Maybe not
because they're
maybe not Japanese fans now.
Maybe not, but they like because they're not like a legacy franchise. They're not a long historied, you know, franchise of greatness. I mean, they're kind of a, let's face it, they've been a schlubby franchise, and they've never done it. So I think that's the kind of story that people tend to cheer for.
Well, and the whole SI thing too, I think, just adds to the whole mystique of it, which is pretty cool. So,
which, by the way, since when do you want SI saying anything about you? Since when is that a good jinx?
Never has been. It's squeezing a phone call. Nate, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, I want to get y'all's opinion on the throw it back thing. My first ball game at Minute Maid Park, some no-name from the Braves hit a home run and into the Crawford seats and threw it back. I think it's a bit different, you know, in a World Series game. Puig hits a two-run home run in the top of the ninth. Looked like some dude snatched it from a woman and tossed it back. I'd have been pretty pissed. Probably would have tossed him over the wall.
Well, that was her brother-in-law. So, because her husband was in between. So it's her husband, and her husband's brother all standing right there in a row. I'm not a throw the ball back kind of guy, but I'm definitely not throw someone else's ball back kind of guy. That's where it's kind of like,
even if it's your family member.
Yeah, you let them make that decision. Whoever catches the ball gets to make the decision.
Yeah, especially in a World Series, I probably hang on to that just in case Puig goes on to be MVP or something.
Yeah.
It might be worth having.
That would have been, that tied the game.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say this game would have gone, 19 innings, that ball could have ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Didn't that cut to a one-run game, and then Chris Taylor hit that single up the middle? Somebody hit a single.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you're right.
Because they were down three and hit a two-run homer, so you're right. Yeah, Chris Taylor tied it up.
All right, guys. Well, if you were in an accident this weekend, maybe you were leaving the park, somebody hit your car, or you slipped and fell, or you got an overtime claim, better dial Dave. That's my man, Dave Mestemaker and Straub. They're committed to your success, man. And if you've been injured, it can be difficult to focus on your treatment because you're dealing with these insurance forms and questions. Well, these guys, you have specialized attorneys who will deal with the insurance companies while you go on recovering. And the cool thing is, if you don't know whether or not you need help, guess what? Call them. They'll tell you. If they can help you out, they'll tell you. And if they can't, they'll tell you that too. 713-626-8900, free legal advice. And the best part is, if you need a doctor and can't afford one, they're going to put you with the doctor. They're going to take care of all this. That's what Dave and his guys do, and that's why they're the best. And go and check them out. And if you're over in Beaumont, guess what? They'll take care of you guys too. 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. Or go to lawyerdave.com. Been in an accident? Better dial Dave.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Let's try another phone call. Charles, you're on The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports.
Yeah, so last week, A.J. and Juggalo Trey were talking about getting some tattoos if the Masters win the World Series. I was just wondering, AJ, would the perfect way to get back in the good graces with Astros Twitter be making it a Bregman tattoo?
First of all, I feel like, how did tattoos become plural? Did I miss something here?
No, that was Trey was supposed to do it.
Juggalo Trey volunteered to get a tattoo. I don't know if he would get an Alex Bregman tattoo. And yeah, I would doubt that he'll get an Alex Bregman tattoo. I think he already has the H planned out. Hmm. He's going to put it on his arm right here.
Yeah.
Which I told him he needs to go hit the gym before he does that.
We better go today. Because you're running out of time. We're almost there.
Yeah.
So.
AKA says, if the Astros pull this off, are there any three bigger names en route to a championship in any sport? Sox, Yanks, Dodgers. Could have been Sox, Yanks, Cubs. Might have been bigger. Cubs are a bigger franchise than the Dodgers now, don't you think?
Dodgers have a lot bigger track record of success, though.
Well, that's true.
I mean, when you talk about the Cardinals, I think it would be
the Cardinals in that conversation. Yeah. But maybe the Giants.
Maybe. So.
Well, and then you're also talking about the closers that they've taken out.
Yeah. By the way, the Sox don't have a big track record of success either.
No.
I mean, they've won like twice now. I mean, let's not go crazy.
But yeah, that's the thing. You look at the closers they've gotten to in these three series. They got the Kimbrel. Yes. They got the Chapman.
The best of the best.
Yeah.
And they've got the worst.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. And I've been saying this for a long time. I don't believe the Astros have a guy that they should feel comfortable pitching high leverage innings. I think Ken Giles is fine for a seventh, eighth inning guy. Don't give me the stats on, oh, he had this many saves or he throws 100 miles an hour. Everybody throws 100 miles an hour now, okay? Not everybody, but major league hitters can hit 100 miles an hour now. It's not like 1987 when Nolan Ryan was the only one touching 100 and it was like, oh, my God, what's happening here? There's a lot of dudes throwing 100, and if it doesn't move, you can mash it. And when your secondary pitch to that 100-mile-an-hour fastball is a hanging slider, you ain't that good. And finally, I think, you know, it didn't cost them the series. But if it had, you would realize how important that is. And I've said for a long time, the Astros didn't really need to invest in a big-time closer because they weren't a good team. Now their team is good enough. You've got to have a guy that you feel like is nails in the back end. And that's something they're going to have to look at in the offseason. Or maybe they move McCullers. We've talked about that too. And if it's easier to move McCullers and find a starter, do that. But they've got to shore up the back of that bullpen.
You know how many pitches were above 97 miles an hour last night?
How many?
Zero.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
Because you could tell, as soon as Jansen came out, his first couple pitches, like, oh, that's not Kenley Jansen. That's not. My wife said, what was that pitch? It was 92. And I was like, I don't know.
Is that his cutter?
It's either a really slow fastball or a really fast changeup. And then the next one was 91. And I was like, oh, no, he doesn't have.
But he throws two pitches. He throws that slider and he throws that cutter. Yep. So it's like.
But he didn't have the gas on that last night. I mean, it's.
Were you guys surprised at the final score of the game due to the inconsistency of the umpire? I was surprised that considering how big a strike zone
there was a big strike zone. Usually when there's a strike zone that big. But you know what? This time, unlike game one where there was a big strike zone and everybody just sat there complaining about it, this time they figured it out and they adjusted. And they started swinging at pitches that were close. And, you know, I think that's a credit to both those lineups for actually going out there and trying to hit. And, a lot of that's the difference between game one and game five and, you know, the nerves of your first World Series game and, you know, not wanting to make that mistake. And obviously it was a big moment here too. But I think the teams they're a little looser. They're more free swinging now than they were early in the series.
Yeah, and they've had some success against each other's bullpens too. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try Angel. Or is it Angel? Either way.
Hey, sports guys.
Hey, now, sports.
Hey, man. Yeah, I just want to know, will McCullers and Morton be able to pitch as relief through the last two games? And will that be able to be enough to get Keuchel and Verlander through the first part of the game and maybe those guys in relief?
Well, I think Keuchel's probably done for the series, unless he pitches some relief in Game 7. You could use McCullers in relief in Game 6 if you're willing to use Morton as your starter in Game 7. They won't both be used as relievers, and I don't think Morton is the best call to come in as a reliever anyway.
But I wouldn't mind it if they got to Game 7 and it was McCullers and Morton would be the two guys that you're going to plan to use. I'd feel okay about that.
Yeah, but if that happens, then that means Verlander's lost.
Right.
And you probably used one of those pitchers, unless it was like a 1-0 loss, which could happen.
Right.
I mean, that could happen.
One more. Let's take Jake. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Jake?
Yep, what's up? Sports.
And then I had kind of a different topic I want to ask y'all. Maybe you covered it last week. Did y'all hear the case about Phil Ivey and losing all his winnings for, I guess, edge reading cards, playing Baccarat in the UK and in Atlantic City?
Isn't that like a year-old story?
Yeah. It's,
yeah. That call later in the week on that, okay?
Yeah. I don't have time for that right now, honestly.
League City Blake's biggest surprise of the series.
Biggest surprise of the series to me is Charlie Morton. I mean, well, maybe not just the series, only pitched the one game, but of the playoffs, I would say, is Charlie Morton. Other than that, I mean, maybe Gurriel has been next level good in the series. And we haven't even gotten to talk about what he did on Friday. As far as the good surprises go, I would say it's Gurriel and Morton. I would say Marwin has been the disappointment.
Yeah. And really, I mean, I think Reddick's been pretty disappointing considering how he finished the season.
Yeah, but I guess for some reason, I don't. When I think of like the core group of guys that I expect to hit on this team, I don't think of Josh Reddick. I think of him as like a secondary guy. Like, you know, I think of Marwin right there behind. Like, I think Altuve and Correa, I think, are your top two guys. And then I think Springer, Gurriel, Marwin are like your next tier. And really, until he hit the home run in game four, and then obviously last night was fantastic for him, Springer had been garbage.
Yeah.
And then when he hit that home run in game four, and it kind of changed his whole outlook. But Gurriel's been money. Marwin's just been a no-show.
Yeah, and I like when Springer gets on his hot runs because he's a pretty streaky guy.
Yep.
And if he can keep hitting like this, I think they have a real good chance tomorrow night. But
and you know what? It's not just the Astros whose big dogs have disappointed in this series or were disappointing, because now almost everybody, I would say, with the exception of Marwin, has kind of gotten about where they should be. Altuve's a little lower than he should be. But when you consider what Justin Turner and Bellinger and Puig are doing in this series, oh, I mean, they're all sub 200. And those three guys and Seager, that's your best bats. And Seager's hitting 250. He ain't way ahead of them.
Although Bellinger is heating up. His first three games were really bad. And
Bellinger
now,
hit last night.
Yeah, and he hit, I think, a couple games ago, too. I think he had that, he's been playing really well. I think the graphic they showed yesterday before that home run, he was like 3-for-5 in his last five at-bats. But he's been playing well, like, the last two games.
Yeah. But so, he's still hitting 200 for the series.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian McTaggart tweeted this out a little while ago. Astros playoff numbers. Altuve, 344, 7 homers, 13 RBIs. Gurriel, 328, 2-8.
Unreal.
Correa, 308, 5-14.
So those three guys have all come through. Springer, not quite up with those guys, but he's trying his best to catch up here at the end. And then, you know, like I said, Marwin, Bregman, and Bregman's doing his best to push his up as well. But those guys have been slow to the party.
So what can you point to the move that made the Astros good enough to make the World Series? I understand they built it the right way, but could you go into more detail on
Justin Verlander's the move.
Yeah.
If you really think this team is here without Justin Verlander, you're crazy.
But the reality is, if you go and look at this team, they've only got like five guys that were drafted. Everybody thinks that they have this young core of all guys. And that's because Correa was a number one pick. And
Springer was a high pick. Bregman was a high pick.
Bregman was a second overall pick. But Altuve was an international signing. And I mean,
Gurriel's international signing.
Yeah, you go look at it. Most of those guys they acquired in trade, either as minor leaguers, and they developed some of them, no question. But yeah, the way this team has been built has been hitting on a couple guys that you weren't expecting to be stars, like Altuve and Keuchel. I don't think you went into
nobody
that
saw
saying,
nobody oh, yeah. saw them being what they've turned into.
And then the guy you did draft, Correa, did turn out to be exactly what you thought he was going to be and more. And then you filled in with some key additions and some shrewd trades. And you know, I think the Verlander deal, without that, they're not here. They don't beat the Yankees.
No. So. No. They needed that. They needed that. You could tell in the regular season they needed that. But to have the kind of confidence that they play with in the postseason, they needed that guy too.
Yeah, and he's made such a huge difference for them.
Yeah, and it's easy to say, well, I mean, if they don't sign Altuve, you know, however many years ago, then maybe they're not here. If they don't use the number one pick on Correa, you can argue stuff like that. But I mean, to me, the thing that they did that was maybe outside of what their character has been in building this team was going out and spending that money that they spent on Justin Verlander.
Yeah,
well, you could go the other way and saying what happened if they drafted Chris Bryant. You know,
yeah. I mean, they'd be all right. I think they'd be okay, but I think Correa is a good fit with this team, and I think that, you know, I don't know how different it makes it in the clubhouse, but I think that guys like Altuve and Gurriel and Correa they're all talking to each other in Spanish. I think there's like a brotherhood there with those guys that maybe wouldn't exist if it was Chris Bryant instead of Carlos Correa. But
Bryant was the Appel draft.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you could have had them both.
Who was the second pick in the year that Correa went? The one that we were like, oh, he was going to cost too much money, and everybody said this is why they didn't take him.
I don't remember who it was that year.
I don't remember either.
It worked out.
It did work out. Yeah. Imagine if they did have, but like then Gurriel's been the best hitter in the lineup. So it all works out in the end.
It was Byron Buxton,
who's finally turned out to be a pretty damn good player himself. But yeah, they did the right thing.
A lot of people want to know who's a series MVP so far for the. I have no idea until tomorrow night.
Justin Verlander
goes out there and pitches 8 innings and gives up no runs and gets the win, he's probably going to be my MVP of the series.
Gun to head right now, I probably say Altuve.
Yeah, but that could change tomorrow, too.
It could.
Springer goes and hits 3 or Gurriel.
Gurriel or Bregman. You could argue for any of those guys, really, right now.
So,
all right, guys. If you've thought about starting over working with computers, My Computer Career could be right for you. It's not too late. You don't need a math or a computer background to start an IT career. You don't even really need to know a lot about computers at all. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. See if an IT career could work for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. My Computer Career is where you get trained for the high-demand field of IT, and you'll start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get what you'll need to start your new career. It's more than just a school, though. My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes are starting up soon, so hurry up and take that career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's MyComputerCareer.edu.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. The journey to Jacksonville has begun. We're giving away a trip for two to Florida to see Houston take on Jacksonville December 17th. Log on to ESPN975.com and find out the three ways to qualify for the grand prize drawing on November 24th. You could win a 3-night stay at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel downtown Jacksonville Riverfront. Go to the football game at Everbank Field and play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club, courtesy of Florida's First Coastal Golf. Visit Florida and ESPN 97.5. Man, we haven't been able to talk about the Texans at all yet. It's been all Astros.
Yeah, I figured 5 o'clock we'll probably switch over to that.
Yeah, seems like a plan. Let me give something away, though. How about a pair of Survivor Series tickets? WWE Survivor Series comes to Houston for the first time with 4 consecutive nights of WWE action. Win a pair of tickets to SmackDown Live at the Toyota Center Tuesday, November 21st. Tickets are still available for purchase. Just log on to HoustonToyotaCenter.com and get you some. Caller 15. So, you surprised that Gurriel's suspension won't come into play until next year?
Yeah, I was surprised. Listen, I was... I was like, I guess a lot of people, and I don't, you know, I know everybody thinks I'm a big tree hugger, crybaby, but I was disappointed in it when it happened because it kind of ruined what was an otherwise really awesome night for the Astros.
Yeah.
But then I also said, I don't know that he should necessarily be suspended. I think a nice healthy fine to like Yu Darvish's charity or some sort of diversity charity would be fine. But then when they announced the suspension, I'm like, that's almost like worse. Like, then don't suspend him at all if you're going to do that. That was a weird thing. It was either don't suspend him at all or suspend him for one game now.
Yeah.
And they did a weird thing.
You don't want to impact a World Series, though.
I get it.
I'm okay with.
But he's the one who did it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. You know who the happiest person in the world was that he did that? Bob McNair.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, yeah. Took it right off of him.
Yeah.
Mike says, or is this Michael, Bregman, most improved player this season? I would say it's got to be Marwin, right?
For the season, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, the way he's playing now, I would say defensively, Bregman's improved as much as anybody.
Yeah, Bregman's a stud with his glove.
He wasn't early in the year.
Yeah.
But I think he's gotten better.
Well, he's also learning a new position, really.
Right. And he's made some great plays over there. So I'd say defensively it's him.
You could argue for Springer, too. Springer's made a pretty nice little jump this season.
Boy, it's kind of hard to – it's hard to remember that he was off on a 50-home run pace to start the season. Yep. He was just killing it. And then things slowed down for him in the second half. But now he's, you know, I mean, they're all this team is – they're playing really well right now. And so are the Dodgers. That's a thing. This is such a good series. I still want it to end in six.
Me too. Yeah. And also, Josh Reddick went from 37 RBI last year to 82 RBI this year. So everybody's really picked it up. You know, I think the better question is who's having a down year.
Yeah, I would say Beltran had a down year.
Yeah, but Beltran's an old man. You should have expected
that. Yeah, you brought him in for leadership, and yeah, I assume that's helped in the clubhouse. And that's really about it. You know, McCann has had an okay year, but it's about what you expected.
Yeah. He's another guy who's getting up in age. He's a catcher. They tend to break down sooner than later.
Yeah.
Foster says, can Altuve be one of the great hitters like Bonds? It's hard to compare those two because, I mean, Barry Bonds is like the home run king. But yeah, can he be a great hitter? Yeah.
Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs conversation?
I think so.
Sure. He kind of already is.
Kirby Puckett? Like, I mean, that's a – somebody was saying he's already maybe – you could make an argument for him being the best second baseman ever. I wouldn't argue it.
Yeah, I'd have to study that a little more.
There's
people who won't admit that he's the best Astros second baseman,
which is crazy to me. If you watch Jose Altuve and you think he's good, but he's no Craig Biggio, you're out of your damn mind. I can't stress that enough. You're out of your damn mind. Jose Altuve is a better player already than Craig Biggio was already. Now the problem is Jose Altuve. My guess is won't finish his career as an Astro, and that will damper how Astro fans think of him, because eventually he and Correa are going to come up around the same time, and they're both going to demand an absurd amount of money. And my guess is the Astros will pay one of them. And I'm not saying that they're wrong, but they will probably pay Correa because Correa's got more years left on him, more tread on the tire. But either way, Jose Altuve to me is one of the greatest.
Well, that's why you need to get that World Series now.
Yep, get it while it's good. Guess who's coming in today at 6 o'clock? Eric Warner. Oh,
that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's going to bring some beer from Carbach. And if you haven't, he's been doing segments with us all year long. He's going to keep doing them. We're eventually going to do some beer dinners out there at the restaurant. The restaurant is outstanding, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. They've got a great menu, and everything pairs well with the Carbach beer that they've got on tap. And coming up Sunday, Foam Hinge, the first annual Foam Hinge. This year's lineup, AC/DC tribute band, Back in Black, Barnes Courtney, who's a UK rocker, Texas metal legends, The Sword will be there, and the Mighty Blue Oyster Cult will headline. Great food and beer choices on the Carbach Beer Garden grounds. They're going to tap into some special casks and barrel age offerings to celebrate a great day of music. Gates open at 1:30. Music starts at 2:30. Tickets are at carbachbrewing.com/foamhinge. You can get your GA tickets for $25 day of, or you can get a $75 VIP ticket, which includes a separate VIP entrance, VIP area with optimal view, indoor restrooms, 3 beers of your choice, access to special tappings and buffet by Carbach Restaurant and Patio. That's the first annual Foam Hinge at Carbach this Sunday, November 5th. Gates open at 1:30. Tickets at carbachbrewing.com/foamhinge.